B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two. DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm going to give out some picks in a little bit here. How about this one, Dan? Champions League today. Champions League final.
Yep.
Man City versus Inter Milan. I've been doing a little bit of research. I can get this one at even money. Both teams to score. Are there generally shutouts in this thing?
No, it's definitely earlier, usually a little bit more of a defensive game, and then opens up pretty quick after the
So Man City has scored in 54 or 60 matches, and they've scored in 26 of their last 27, while Inter Milan has scored in 13 straight games. And since mid-March, they've been hot. They've scored almost every game. So that's where I'm going. It's even money right now. I think both teams, you know what? Ring it. Both teams to score today. I really hope it's not 1-0.
I don't think it'll
1-0.
I don't think it'll be 1-0. I think there's a good possibility we're looking at a pretty decent sized game. I like that bet, Joe. I do.
All right.
I do. I'm going to take the over 2.5 at minus 115. So give me the bell there. There you go.
Blowing money fast.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over in this game. So I do think City is going to score, probably pretty early in this one. And I think Milan will probably have to attack. I think that's the way that they would like to, that they would like to play. City would like to get on the board early. They don't need to play a defensive game. I actually think that's probably their worst quality is their defensive ability, and especially on the counterattack, they're going to control a ton of possession this game. Look, this is not going to be the best Champions League to watch because it's going to be very one-sided. I do think Inter is going to be a good enough counterattacking team where they have enough talent up front that they're going to be able to score one. So I agree with the BTTS, which is what both teams will score. I think you're looking at a 3-1 possible scoreline here. So I'm going over 2.5.
All right. And again, I'm going to be watching this today. Tell me about Ilkay Gundogan. Gundogan.
Yes.
Gundogan.
Ilkay Gundogan.
Do you want to give me more? I'll say the names if you want.
Okay, Gundogan. Yeah. So Gundogan.
Gundogan. All right. Why did I think it was Gundogan?
I don't know why. He's what? I mean, look. He's probably not. He's a little bit older. He's definitely lost a step, but he's still one of the best technical midfielders in the world. He's going to be the one who's pretty much running point. He's essentially the point guard.
He's been on fire.
He's going to be running essentially point guard for City today. He's a center mid for them. He's going to be incredible when he's, moving without the ball. Just watch him. He's going to be one directing passes to Erling Haaland.
Holland.
Up front, and especially out wide. So, look, he's basically the point guard of that midfield. He's the one who connects the defense to the forwards. He is – everything runs through him. So, if he, if he plays well, City's going to play well.
So, I haven't – I'm not going to bet it, but I might. Anytime goal plus 280.
For who?
Gundogan. Gundogan.
So my thing about Gundogan, and I do understand that why that's that'll be possible for him to score, but he scored in the FA Cup, very different type of game than we're gonna see today. I think you're probably gonna have better, you could probably find something with a little bit better odds out there. To be honest, that's probably a little bit better. I for instance, like Grealish plus 280, I think is probably a decent one for City. You know, at least in my personal opinion, I think that's better. I don't know. Look, I totally fine. Do whatever you guys want. I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you what goal score is going to happen because I don't know, man. But, you know, I do think that you probably should be looking a little bit deeper into this, you know, into the team. I think that, you know, Grealish is really someone who's been absolutely fantastic. And Kevin De Bruyne is someone who's kind of lost in this Man City team. He was, again, still one of the best in the world. Plus 280 today is a silly price for a guy who is playing probably in the biggest match of his life. So, you know, again, a couple of those guys in Erling Haaland, minus 125 to score a goal. I mean, he's the best player right now in the world, the best striker in the world, absolutely clinical, has changed everything about this Man City team. So, I, you know, probably playing at minus 125, which is what, like my 55% or whatever it is, 55.6%. Probably not the worst bet you could ever make.
Gundogan. I don't know.
Not Gundogan. Whatever. Not Gundogan.
I've been collecting cards for those who know, and I got my cards in the mail, and I have a bunch of guys, and I'm like, who's this guy?
Who's soccer players?
Who's this guy?
Did you bring them in?
I have them at my house.
We should play maybe one day after the show. We'll do one quick segment. I'll stay.
Go through the cards.
Pronounce that player's name.
I know. Gundogan. All right. Well, that's Gundogan. Well, anyway, somebody said to me, got to look at Gundogan today, Joe. Score a goal. He's been hot.
Yeah, I think that normally in normal matches, sure, but this is not the type of game that I think you'd look for a midfielder to score, at least in my opinion. So.
All right, and then I teased this because we talked about...
Watch him score two goals. So.
Hey. We teased this one. DeAndre Hopkins, next team. He has visits with Tennessee when he has ties to Mike Vrabel, part of the defensive team with Houston. And then now has a meeting with the New England Patriots. So the odds are out. Bills are still the... So it was Browns. Now it's Bills again. Bills, Browns, Lions, Patriots, Titans, Chiefs, Texans, Ravens, Bears, Cowboys. Of the teams, who do you think he's the best fit for? And if you were going to bet on it, who would you bet?
Who's the best fit? I think the best fit is Tennessee. In terms of just
Traylon Burks and who else?
In natural fit, he would be the number one. He'd be easily the number one guy there. He got a veteran quarterback who I don't know if he has any connection with, but I know that he likes Mike Vrabel as a coach. He's kind of talked about that openly. So I do think that that's a natural fit. I also think scheme-wise, it probably fits him pretty well. People are talking about him being a man-to-man guy. There was some stat yesterday that he was the second-best wide receiver in the man-to-man coverage. That stat's completely false. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. You guys should know that by now. But, yeah, that's just not true. He is a zone breaker. That's what he is. He's a zone breaker now. He's still an unbelievable talent against the zone, and that is the type of guy that you should be, you know, looking for if you're trying to make some sort of playoff run. So, yeah, I'll be honest with you, Joe. I think that that's where he fits in terms of, you know, scheme fit and everything best. I also think that being back in the division there where he dominated is probably something that he'd love. But, you know, hopefully, and, you know, just me personally, I hope that he comes to the Patriots. I still think that he's probably not the same player he once was, but he's still a very, you know, probably top 20, 25 wide receiver in the league. Still unbelievable talent.
He might have the best hands still in the league.
Yeah, agreed. He's still an unbelievable talent. The speed definitely lost a step or two, but.
I mean, he's a true X.
Yeah.
Whether he's taking a step back or whatever. So I agree with you on Tennessee. The question is then Ryan Tannehill the answer?
So no, I mean, look, he's not winning anything with Tannehill, right? And I do think that this is the type of year, Joe, coming off what happened last year, the suspension, etc. This might be a good year to rebuild value if you're trying to make a run. And I know he's what, 32, 33 at this point. He doesn't have a lot of, you know, NFL shelf life to go. I get that. But I do think that you probably want to rebuild your value where you view, you know, a contender thinks that you're truly valuable. I mean, really, no meeting with Buffalo. I don't know if you consider Cleveland a contender. Some do, some don't. You know, Kansas City seems to be out of it. Like, you know, the true contenders have a little bit of interest, but at least it doesn't seem like it right now. That there's a ton, that's just kind of reading the tea leaves. I don't know that to be a fact, but it feels like a good year to rebuild your value, have a one-year contract, go into free agency next year, and then basically choose wherever you want to go because you'll have a plethora of options with actual free agency. It,
generally, that works when you go to the Patriots. You come to the Patriots for a year, you
and that's rebuild, exactly your, what I was going to say.
And then you. So two things on this one. The Titans, I think, is another good fit for a reason. They, if you remember a couple of years ago, was it 2 years ago, they used the 91 different players because of injury.
Right, yeah, they were like the most injured team in like the past 10 years or whatever it was.
They don't practice.
What do you mean?
They don't really practice because of injuries.
Yeah.
That's Hopkins doesn't really practice anymore because he wants to be fresh for the games.
Right.
I don't know if that happens in New England, but the deal. Here's the one thing I'll say about this. Originally, I was kind of out on the idea of Hopkins for a couple of reasons, only because I look at the Patriots and say they use guys who can do multiple things. If Hopkins plays on the Patriots, he's just a receiver, and I'm not saying
he's really do just a zone guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'd still use him in the red zone and all that. All right,
fine. Well, right, yeah, but again, he's that's where he's a zone breaker.
But he would really be a few. I mean, I'm not. He's not going to be a 30. He might get 30 or 40 snaps again. I don't know. All I'm saying is that he's not going to practice during the week. And I don't know. I just feel like the Patriots stay away from guys like that. And
they do.
Maybe they should change that.
Well, I just think maybe you make some exceptions to rules sometimes. Because you're right now. I mean, look. I think for Belichick, you're kind of in a tough situation, right? You're probably the fourth best team in the division talent-wise. I still think they can finish third, but, you know, talent-wise, you're probably the fourth best team in the division. Your quarterback is a complete unknown. You're trying to chase a wins record that clearly you care about. Like, there's a lot of factors here, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much money the owner is really willing to spend on stuff, so I think if you have the opportunity to kind of do a few things here and there, I think you kind of got to do them. So I would take the chance. I would take the swing if I was the Patriots. And it sounds like from what Jimmy Stewart said yesterday, they've offered him the most money, which would then make sense why he has a meeting set up here.
Well, they have the it. Patriots.
Well, again, remember, understand how the media works in terms of these things. They say if you have a meeting, you've already kind of talked to the agent and tell him how much money you're willing to offer him. So he's obviously somewhat interested in the money if he's willing to have a meeting with you. That's True. The reality of the situation.
True. The other thing I've heard is that he may just sign around camp time and maybe play in a preseason game and be ready to go. Where, like, if the Patriots are going to sign him, they probably want him in here a little sooner. Maybe the Titans would say, hey, we can't give you as much money, but you don't have to come to OTA. You don't have to do any of this.
Yeah, I'd be surprised because I think that the path for him to rebuilding his value for a team like playing in New England is doing part of that. Remember, he was suspended last year for the PEDs. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
So there's a lot of teams who look at that and say, I don't know if I want to touch a guy like that. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to happen, but there is some credibility when you kind of come in, you play, you know, do your part in camp. I think rebuilding his value is kind of important there.
And I don't want to compare anybody to Randy Moss because I will never do that.
He's not Randy Moss.
But when the Patriots traded for Randy Moss never played in the preseason.
Never.
Ever. And came in and broke the single season record. So it can happen, and it's happened before for certain players. Maybe they would look at it and saying rehabilitating a guy, not showing anything in the preseason, it might not be such a bad thing, even though we look at it as a negative.
And again, if he plays 10 snaps in a preseason game, I don't think ultimately it's going to kill him. He probably won't be going even near 100% in those snaps either. So I tend to think that he's a guy who understands how to manage, you know, practice time and you know, those type of situations and not going all out.
Jay is on the line. He's in Newport. What's up, Jay?
Hey, morning, guys. So I fell for the trap last night. Gerrit Cole was -145. I thought the line was like super fishy, but I was like, I got to take it. And I fell for it. And I just can't just figure out how to bet on or against the Red Sox. And now today I mean, the Yankees are only minus 125. Again, I think, you know, coming off the series the Red Sox had, that's got to be a Yankees bet, right?
All right, let's save it. Let's go to break. We'll talk about it. Let's save it. We'll look at the line. Might be worth talking about the Red Sox for a minute here. And then there's a ton of other stuff out there. We're here until 9 o'clock, 617-779-0985. It's the Back Row Boys. We're here until 9 on the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Answer. Joe Moe, Dan Lifshatz, the Bankroll Boys, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're on a rant off the air.
Off air show's fun.
What was what were we talking about? Oh, the Red Sox.
Yes. All right. So the Red Sox price. So why were the Yankees priced so poorly yesterday? Has anyone seen their offense without Aaron Judge? Let's go through the Yankees lineup without Aaron Judge. Just to go through it. DJ LeMahieu, Josh Donaldson, Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton. Not bad, right? After that, Jake Bowers, Kana Falefa, Brandon McKinney, Jose Trevino, and Anthony Volpe is batting ninth. Volpe is batting 189, Trevino's batting 212, McKinney's hitting 300 in a small sample. Kana Falefa is batting 239, Bowers batting 237. That's why. Because after four, they have a black hole in their lineup right now, 5-9, without Judge. With Judge, they basically get an extra batter there, and they get one of the most dynamic bats in the game. Cole was great yesterday. Six innings, two earned, six Ks. You know, nothing spectacular, but that's pretty good. Whitlock matched him, essentially, because he's facing a lineup with very little power. Josh Donaldson, by the way, has been a black hole since he's come back. I know he had a homer last night, but seriously, not much. Rizzo's kind of cold right now. Stanton's kind of cold right now. Like, the Yankees don't have much of a lineup. So when you say, you know, whatever, the Yankees, whatever, you look at the Red Sox lineup is significantly better right now than the Yankees. So, you know, even with Alex Verdugo is out, they still have a better lineup. I mean, seriously, Verdugo, Yoshida, Turner, Devers. Those four right now are better than the Yankees four. And after that, it's not a black hole. Duvall came back, obviously, you know, a lot to be desired there still. But, like, we'll see what happens with him. He just came back. Casas has been fantastic the past month and a half. Christian Rowe just came off the DL. Wong Hernandez are, you know, not playing well right now. But, you know, Wong had a good month. And you know, Kike is still, you know, a professional hitter at times. It's not Jose Trevino and Brandon McKinney. Like, it's not Isaiah Kane or Falefa. Like, it's not a bunch of black holes in the lineup. These are professional hitters, at least. So that's why the Yankees are priced the way they are. And again, today, they have a guy who's been a bit of a gas can recently. Diego Germán's on the mound for them. He's been a bit of a gas can. Like, that's the reality of the situation is, I know his ERA kind of looks great. And I know he did have a good outing versus the Dodgers last time, but he got, you know, hit around by Seattle. He got hit around by, you know, a bunch of teams this year. He has pitched well as of late, so I'll give him that. But Minnesota, who, you know, really offensively has not been well. have been great. You know, they hit him for six. Toronto hit him for four. Philly hit him for four early in the year. Like, you know, you're talking about a guy who hasn't pitched super well. He did have a great outing versus the Dodgers. 100% got to give him that. And he actually has pitched pretty well, Joe. I'll say I'm kind of take the L there. And I think he's pitched better in the past, you know, month than he has, you know, definitely better than he did in April. But, you know, still not a guy who has, you know, killer stuff or something overpowering. And I think the Red Sox, again, they would. When they have the hitting advantage, they usually should win these games.
I don't know if there's really any value anymore. I've been watching them. I think they're one of the worst defensive teams I've ever seen.
Oh, they're bad.
Ever.
Oh, they're bad.
In the end, I wonder what it's going to look like at the end of the year. The one thing I hate more than anything about talking about the Red Sox is, you know, oh, wait till Duvall comes back. Wait till this guy comes back. Trevor Story is going to get... It's just that, like, I don't know, make a move.
I mean, the Trevor Story thing is real, though. Kike Hernandez at shortstop is maybe the worst shortstop I've ever seen play.
And he's a fine center fielder.
He's a good center. He's a good center fielder.
Good.
And I understand the Duvall thing. Like, I get it. You know, he was unbelievable before he got hurt. You want to get his bat back in the lineup, fine. Can we try, like, Kike at second? Like, I know you like Christian Arroyo, and that's great and all. Can we move Kike around a little bit? Like, if you're the Red Sox, can you try him at second? Like, can you?
They actually need help. Like, that's where they're having a lot of their throwing errors. Like, and I know Kike is behind a lot of it, too, at short. But, like, I'd be, you know what? I'd look into that, too.
Like, and I know Christian Arroyo just came off the DL, and he's been, you know, he was pretty good before he got hurt. But, like, if you want to put Kike somewhere and you're having difficulty, you know, finding a spot for him, put him at second. Like, he's played that position before. He can make that throw. I don't know. That seems like a heck of a lot easier than, you know, putting him at short right now. And then this question is, well, who do you put at short?
The Emmanuel Valdez experiment, I know he's done some okay things at the plate, but,
again,
like,
he's,
he was one of the worst throwers I've ever seen.
He's a guy, again, he's a guy who, you know, you can't
scrappy.
Rely on.
Yeah,
he's a good hitter. And right now the Red Sox have a bunch of guys who can really hit the ball, you know, but just can't play those positions. Like, Justin Turner is your DH pretty much every night because – he, you know, he's not a good third baseman anymore.
You know, he's been okay.
No, he's been fine. And now people saying it's the locker room influence. Like, the Red Sox are like 500 right now, 32-32. And people are saying, oh, you know, Justin Turner had influence on Tristan Casas. Like, okay, you know, Casas been fine. He had like a he had a terrible April, but he had like a 775 OPS in May. Like, he was a, you know, above, you know, an average hitter in last month. Like, but, like, am I going to give Justin Turner all the credit in the world there? No, I'm sorry. I'm not. It's ridiculous.
I've expected more from Casas.
Well, I think everyone has. But the Red Sox basically being even money today on that number. I mean, that's why the total's so low. That's why it's 8.5 today. Because the Yankees lineup is just a disaster. It's the reality.
We have a caller on that. Mike is in Worcester. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Just calling up. I gotta defend Josh Donaldson, guys. You know, since he's been back, you know, he's been back for five games. He has four home runs. It's the revival of Josh Donaldson, baby.
Okay, but so he has four home runs in five games. I mean, that's a great five game sample, but he still isn't hitting that well.
The Red Sox are 1-6 their last seven versus the Yankees with a win last night. I didn't realize that. They were that bad.
Yeah, the Red Sox are obviously awful against the AL East. They're terrible against Tampa. They're terrible against the Yankees. But, again, the Yankees right now, you know, I would be concerned about that lineup. They just dropped, two or three to the White Sox. You know, they lost Judge now. You know, they lost to the Red Sox last night. They scored two runs. They didn't score more than five. You know, they scored, you know, I think six once in, like, the past 10 games. I think the last time they scored over six was against the Mariners. Like, without Judge, the lineup is struggling. So, I think this is going to be a team in the next couple days here where you probably get some value on the under, although 8.5 seems a little bit low with Houck on the mound and German. You know, you're probably going to get some value on the unders here. Maybe look at team total unders, et cetera. So there are ways to take advantage of the Yankees here.
So I just looked this up. Yankees off a loss. Okay, they lose last night. 9-4.
Yeah, again, 9-4, great, but what are they off a loss without Judge?
Yep, good point.
You know, what is kind of that? So to me, that's the difference there. That's the difference there.
Dan, Stanley Cup final. I think it's been a good Stanley Cup. I know that.
I totally disagree.
Oh, no. I mean, I've watched every game. I've watched every minute of every game.
I thought the first two games are terrible.
So, you know what it is? I think the first one, 5-2 first one. Okay, yeah. Second game was well, I think we got some scraps in there, which I thought might have maybe been some momentum for Florida. It wasn't until a terrible officiating call. I thought the officiating late was I don't know what your thoughts were, but
I mean, I thought Florida got screwed. I don't.
No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying the officiating. Say. It was up 2-1. Tkachuk gets the goal. He's the guy who's been behind everything.
Yeah, he's the best player on that.
Could he? I don't know if he's going to win best player of the tournament or whatever.
No. They have to win.
Of the Stanley Cup final.
But Bobrovsky is probably the guy you're looking at, but he's been brutal this series so far, right?
Woof.
Right.
But Tkachuk is the guy who, stirs the drink for them.
I think he's 4-1 to win the Conn Smythe. I think Bobrovsky is plus 550.
Tkachuk is number one?
Yeah, right now? No, for Florida. Who did I tell you to look at before the series started? Former players of the team, Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. Smith has been terrible, but Marchessault is right now the leading guy for the Conn Smythe, -140. He's killing them.
So tonight, just looking at the odds here, Florida -115. So the total 5.5. It went under last game.
Yep.
The under was heavily juiced. I was actually looking at it. So it's almost essentially even line. Okay. I know Florida's a little bit.
So right now, Circa has -110 both sides.
Perfect.
And actually, you'll probably end up seeing that drop even further. It'll probably be like -105, -107.
Is there momentum now for Florida? They're at home.
I think so. I mean, that to me, that's. Because if Vegas scores in overtime, the series is over. You're up 3-0. It's pretty much over. I think it's that was a massive goal. I mean, now you've completely changed the series now. And I think if you're Florida, you felt good about how you played in game 3 and even at the end of game 2, right? So I feel like you've put together, probably 5 good periods of play now between overtime and the third period of game 2, and you probably feel pretty good about yourself. You just won a big game in overtime. You have a lot of momentum. You felt like your goalie definitely played better at home. I absolutely think that Florida has the momentum right now. I think it's a huge momentum shift, that goal.
So
huge.
I think we both agree that home ice hasn't meant much in the NHL, right?
No, it hasn't at all.
Do you know between these two teams? Home ice has been everything.
Yeah, I mean.
Even like regular season, too.
But again, Florida basically hasn't lost. Like, Florida beat, they beat Toronto 4-1. They beat Carolina 4-0. Like, they just haven't lost. It doesn't matter where they played. And Vegas, the home ice has definitely been a factor for them. I also think they have a great home ice. The whole, pregame ceremonies. It's crazy there. Yeah, it's crazy there. So I do think that they have a legitimate, somewhat of an advantage, I guess. But, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Joe. I kind of like Florida in the series right now. And, again, I told you I was a little bit concerned about Vegas going into it because I'd heard some injury things. I don't think that's played out at all. But I think that goal, man, what a huge goal that was. Everyone still thinks Vegas is going to win the series and walk away with it. I think Florida has a really good chance now. They win tonight. I think they win the series.
So
I think this game tonight is the most important game of the series, in my opinion.
When Florida plays at home, right, generally the games go under. Went under last game. So it's 4-1, basically, their last 5 home games. And 9-3 overall is the under when for them. I don't know where to go tonight with this one. 5.5 is the number?
I like Florida. I mean, that's the way that I would look in this game. I would lean Florida, probably 110 or under.
Just the way they're playing at home, man. It's hard to fade that.
I just think, again, I think that the goalie finally figured it out. They played a little bit better last game. I think that, they have, in my opinion, a lot of momentum coming off that win. That's a huge win for them. I think that, right now, I think that Florida has a good chance in the series, man. I really do. They win tonight. Look out. I think Florida wins the series. I really think this is the most important game. Vegas wins tonight. I think it's over. You know, just a matter of time. Florida wins tonight. I think Florida wins. So I'll be honest with you.
All right, there you go. We'll leave it there. The NHL final continues. We got, was it game four tonight?
Yep.
So I like how we had basketball game last night, hockey tonight. Then Monday is when we get the NBA final as well. So is it
Tuesday that we get the next
NHL?
I think so.
Yep. So on the other side, we'll get into all the other stuff. Any other bets that are out there and your thoughts at 617-779-0985. I got something on the UFC tonight. And Dan, let's just look at the horses. We'll look at them. Because some of them are familiar. Some didn't race in the Preakness. So let's look at the Belmont. We'll do that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's a loser. He went to the NBA Finals. He lost. He played with James Harden. He lost.
2010? In.
No.
The Lakers had him, and the NBA said, we own him.
I'm aware. I don't want this guy. And everyone said, oh, he'd be the pass-first point guard. Fantastic. You don't have a talent problem. You have a mentality problem. Bringing in a guy who has lost everywhere he's gone in his career. I don't want this guy within 400 million yards of my team. No, thank you. Let some other stupid organization sign him. There's a reason the Phoenix Suns are having the potential of letting him walk for nothing. Okay? There's a reason that team who is trying to win the title is cutting him and potentially losing him for nothing. Because he sucks mentally. Mentally, not physically. He's still a good NBA player. He's still useful. I get it. He plays a role. That guy sucks. No thanks. No thank you. That guy sucks. No thank you.
Someone pay Ryan Beaton.
He's been doing back
there
all
show? Someone pay Ryan Beaton, man. Someone may. He turns that around in an hour. Someone pay the man.
That was funny. That was about Chris Paul, who's a born loser. But, you know, he'd be great.
If Jeremy Conley ever leaves the night show, Ryan, I know where you go. You are perfect for that role, and I mean that in every sense of the word. My Atlanta.
He sucks right then.
I should say he sucks when it matters. He doesn't suck. He sucks when it matters.
Know what we left out of that? If he was even in the playoffs, he'd be hurt anyway.
He wouldn't play. Oh, I hurt my hand. Can't play. I hate him. I hate Chris Paul, man. I can't believe that Celtics fans would be like, oh, Chris Paul's the missing piece.
Do I think at least at one time in his career did I look at him as like, man, this is a great point guard? I did. I have.
Sure. There's a lot of great players. I mean, Kevin Durant is a great player, but the guy is an all-time loser. Had to go join one of the best teams of all time in order to win. Like, such a loser. It's a bum. I don't know. I don't want that guy. When everyone wanted to trade Jaylen Brown for him, I didn't want him. I still don't want him. I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for him today. Straight up. No, thank you. I'm all set. I'll give Jaylen Brown the Supermax four times before I trade for Kevin Durant. Guy sucks.
He does.
Mentally, when it matters, you don't want that guy.
All right, Dan, have you looked at the Belmont at all?
All right, so you know I'm not a good horse bettor.
I don't think any of us have been this year, at least. Actually, no, you had two fills in the Derby.
I had two fills in the Derby and finished second in my last horse. Didn't he finish third? I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I Angel of Empire finished there. I had that in my place.
No, I'm saying last race.
Oh, I actually don't even remember the last race.
The Preakness. Okay, whatever. Yeah, either way. Okay. Who you got today, Joe? Because I got nothing for you. I haven't talked to my horse, guys.
So. Okay, I've done little research on this one because I don't care. I feel like if there's no Triple Crown, I'm kind of out of it.
Oh, but you bum.
Forte, though, is
no the Triple favorite. Crown, you're out?
Yeah, kind of. Oh, so I like National Treasure, believe it or not. 5-1, I'm going Bob Baffert Horse. John Velazquez is the jockey. Like, it's square. Very, very square. But that's what I'm looking at. Angel of Empire, 7-2. And who was it? Who was it that I saw? So Mike McNansky had, if you want to check out his stuff, he's got a whole write-up on this.
He's a good horse guy.
And I forget. I'll look it up. I know he had somebody that was kind of a long shot that they were rooting for. But, yeah. Will I watch today? Maybe. Because think about it. Think of the day today, though, right?
I'll watch it.
You get the Champions League at 3.
Yep.
You're going to get the race at about 6:50, maybe?
And then you got the Stanley Cup.
You got Red Sox, Yankees, if you want to throw that in, which used to be a big thing.
I'm awesome.
Right? And then you get the Stanley Cup. And then late night, you get the UFC fights.
By the way, how much does it stink how this Red Sox team has just crumbled?
I know.
Sucks, man. It sucks.
They won last night, but they crumbled.
Well, I know. I'm just saying,
that's what a fan will
tell
you. I'm
just saying down the line, like I think they were what, 7 or 8 games above 500, and now they were below 500 until last night. They were 31-32. They're 500 now. It's I thought we were gonna have a baseball season. I was wrong. I thought this team was pretty good. I really liked the over coming. I have a lot of money on the over. Really liked them. I thought they were. This was a really good.
They could go 81-81, and you hit your bet, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I just think that if you're basically a 500 team with a deadline, what are you doing? You're selling, probably. You're probably selling, and especially with this moron and who's running the team right now. And yeah, I think he's a moron. He'll probably sell all the players for prospects because rebuild the farm system, right? Yada yada yada. I hate High and Bloom. I can't stand him. I can't believe that this guy is still here. Can't believe it. Cannot believe that High and Bloom
is still here.
Picking
up trash, though. You see that?
Unbelievably bad. Unbelievably bad general manager. Horrendous. Matt McCarthy would be a better general manager. Honestly.
I'm in
honestly.
On that.
Honestly.
He'll at least shake some things up.
And the McCarthy has the kiss of death going for him. So anything he does, touches, goes horribly wrong. And I think he'd still be better than High.
Oh, man.
I'll take the McCarthy kiss of death over this guy. Jeez.
All right, so we have nothing on the horse race.
I got nothing on the horse race.
Sorry, everybody. Go read Mutt's stuff. He's got it.
I got baseball stuff for you if you want.
Okay, real quick. The Revs play Inter Miami. The Revs are -260, but I just want to let you know that they haven't been great of late.
They've been terrible the past five
and
games.
Really,
winless past five.
Miami's been worse, right? So they're favored -260 today, and I hate it.
No, I hate it.
So really, Dan, I feel like the under might be the play in this Revs game tonight.
See, I actually think I go.
And you know what it is?
I think I go the other way.
Under 3 is -125 right now. So you can get, if you like, go over. Yeah. You get that plus money right there.
Yeah, so I actually think I go over. Look, I think it's your Miami. The one thing they can do is they can score goals. That's the one thing they can do.
That's true.
And the Revs, again, have really been really poor defensively in the past few games from
they had a clean sheet last game, but
right.
The one before that, they blew a 2-0 lead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were terrible versus Atlanta. They didn't score against NYFC, who had the red card, and they went 3-3 against Chicago, and they allowed 3 goals to Philly, and they did. They just lost to this Inter-Miami team, what was it, a month ago?
A month ago, yeah.
Yeah, they won.
Since then, though, Inter-Miami hasn't won at all, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, this is a revenge spot for sure. But I think the over is probably the play here. I think, 2-1 type game, probably get 2.75. I'd wait for it to – it'll probably drop. It'll probably be sharp under,
All right, so a couple of UFC bets, and I know you get your baseball stuff, Dan. I'll just get this out of the way quickly.
That's fun. Take your time.
Obviously, the big one tonight's Nunez Aldana. I'll wait on that one. But I like Charles Oliveira as an underdog +125 to knock off to win at 11:25 tonight. That's the men's main event, Dan. So I'm going Oliveira. You can ring the bell tonight. Plus 125 on that one.
Okay.
I'm gonna be at the Brook tonight. They have all the DraftKings book and all that. Yep.
Yep.
So I'm going for a UFC event.
I've been there. It's very nice.
I'm gonna bet all the dogs.
Me and CT Betts went there for the college football playoffs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I'll be there.
Big 12 championship.
Yeah, so I like Oliveira in the men's. As far as Nunez goes, -330.
No thanks.
I'm not doing it, but I'm gonna go with this one, and I'm a little over 2.5 rounds. I think it go. I think it gets over 2.5. So it's -135 right now.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go over 2.5 rounds.
Okay. There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. That's all I got for UFC, and I'm gonna bet the underdogs when I'm there, just to see if there's some fun.
Okay. I will take a few bets here. Give me the Mets Pirates over five, first five, -110. PP that. That is Kodai Senga and Johan Oviedo. So over five there in the first five. Give me, let's go down here for a minute and find the other ones. Give me the Padres and Rockies over seven, first five. That is Ryan Weathers and Kyle Freeland. And give me the Dodgers and Phillies over 4.5, first five. That is Bobby Miller and Aaron Nola, -110. There you go. All of those -110. Huh? Yep.
All right, we're full stack show today.
You can ring the bell on that one too, Ryan.
A stacked show. Here on the show today, we did the finals, NHL finals, Chris Paul's next team, Hopkins' next team, Belmont, UFC, baseball, soccer, and we even talked golf, Dan. I think we talked everything. Oh, by the way, I know we got to get out of here, but for a couple of weeks, we've talked about that Eagles-Patriots game, right?
Yeah.
And you brought it up on Thursday?
They asked me.
Yeah, but haven't we been talking about that for a while?
Yeah. What are we always talking about? Week one is like the most unpredictable week, and then week two is an overreaction week to week one. This is
but look at
year.
The history of the Super Bowl loser. They lose week one.
Yeah, not only that, that's also the other thing too. But like, just in general,
but haven't we been haven't we talked about this a couple of times?
Yes, I know. It's insane. The Patriots might win a game. Insane.
Just wanted to bring that back up.
No, never forget.
The North remembers. All right, hey, Ryan Johnston and Ty Anderson out in Marlboro. We were there last year, Dan.
That's right.
It's lit down there.
It is. Hope you guys are having fun.
So enjoy them. A little bit of hockey talk coming up next here on 98.5 The Sport. First, for Ryan Beaton, Dan Lifshitz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over on the Show.
Who you got? Chris Paul sucks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.